Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I felt like as I was preparing the message for tonight, I was just kind of pacing around and I was just kind of sitting back, sort of contemplating, if you will, the years of walking with Jesus, which I have, which are not many, to be honest. I'm under 8 years of truly, really pressing in faithfully, and some would say that's quite a bit. And if you've been in the kingdom for a few days, maybe, but 8 years is really, it's just a blip. It's just such, it's just the beginning, you know, with Jesus, and He's done such a neat work. But I also had to have this thought that I'm beyond the easy days. Okay, what do I mean by that? I'm beyond. I crossed some threshold, not because I'm anything special, but just because of prayers that I've prayed and length of time and contending for some greater things. That, you know, getting a vision from heaven that God gives when you're in that place of prayer and in that place of tarrying with God, and He gives you visions for things that are just beyond your reach. And it's almost like there's this great, it's not a carrot on a stick. It's not this thing that you can't reach necessarily, but He just calls us into such greatness. But long gone are the days where everything was just easy. Sometimes it is, and it's blessed, but many times it's God is really after this wrestling and this contending. And Matthew 11:12 always comes to mind. I share it, and he shares this verse with me often. It's just simply that since the days of John the Baptist until now, right, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Now, many people say that there's a different translation or a meaning, a revelation for that verse. Some think it's that the kingdom of heaven literally suffers violence, like, you know, people are out to get the kingdom of heaven, and that could be true in one way. However, I also believe there's a violence of spirit, right? And for those who get this violence of spirit, they get this restlessness, they get this thing that comes over them whenever they start to simply be complacent in their walk with Jesus. And so they get this violence that stirs up. It's all the work of the spirit, and they go after these harder things. And I was just thinking, it's awesome to be in this place because how many of y'all ever heard somebody say, you know, this relationship with either their spouse or with God gets better every day, every year? Amen. Sometimes, you know, if you hear what they're saying, sometimes they're not saying the relationship gets easier every day. What they said is it gets better every day. As a matter of fact, in relationships, often the easiest days are when you first meet each other. And you got that twinkle in your eye. And she smiled at you. I can't believe it. She smiled at me. You know, and then there's this thing and everything's just easy. It's really easy to do all this stuff. And then as you begin to make commitments towards one another, and as you start walking side by side, and you start experiencing challenges in life, and you go through difficulties and through different things, it doesn't get easier in a sense. But it gets better because you start to learn the heart of one another. But there's also a great cost involved where your heart has to be laid down bare time and time again. Forgiveness is a word that my wife and I will have to use often in our marriage. I'm sorry, honey. I dropped the ball. I know you did. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. But it's true. But you know what? I know my wife better today than I ever have, and I love her more today than I ever have, because I've seen her heart through testing and through trials and through difficulties, through challenges. It's gotten better. And my relationship with God is obviously an imagery. It's a foreshadow, in a sense, in many ways, of our relationship with Him, the bridegroom king, the bride. And so my relationship with God is the same. It's getting better. Today's message, I don't know why I titled it, I never do, but today I just put Kingdom Treasures. And if we could, I want to go to Matthew chapter 13, if you do have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, 44 says it like this. Parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. First of all, what you see is you see, I'm going to read a couple parables here, and you see the contrast, you see the difference between the one and the other. And I see in this word, in verse 44, that which a man, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. In essence, it sort of depicts this man stumbling upon a treasure. And I feel like sometimes that's us in our walk with Jesus. I feel like as we, I can tell you the truth, I was a drug addict years ago, and I was in a basement addicted to cocaine and alcohol just everything. I was just a mess. And inside this dungeon of a mess, God chose to come. God came down and descended, and he came into my room where I was at. And then later on, as the years progress, and I eventually stumbled upon this greatest treasure of salvation, often I think we as the church, we get it confused, and many times we think we chose him. We think that we chose him, but if we know the word, John 15:16 says, I chose you, and I appointed you. And we have this sort of delusional thing where we think that, you know, there was a day where we finally chose Jesus. But in reality, guys, he initiated the relationship. He's the initiator in this relationship. He pursued you. He's after you. And we're so blind in our sin. We're so blind in our mess. And one day, whoop, we stumble upon him. We go, whoa, look what I found. But as you read in this parable, as soon as he found this treasure, he had so much joy over it that he goes and he sells all that he has. And he buys that field. All of a sudden, this Philippians 3:7-8 spirit comes over him, where Paul is saying, but what things we gain were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen to this, and he says, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So this man stumbles upon this greatest treasure, and he looks at it, and he values it, and he begins to see the beauty and the worth in it. And all of a sudden, all these other things in life begin to pale, to wane in importance. And he forsakes all of that. He sells it all for this one treasure. He gained Christ. If you read the next parable, it's the parable of great price. In verse 45, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And even though this man also found the pearl, his heart was seeking it. He was seeking after a pearl. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to say is that whether you are believe you've stumbled upon a treasure, or you're at a place in your walk with the Lord, maybe 8 years, maybe, you know, 10, 20, 15 years, 40 years, whatever, you know you got to seek after these pearls. There has to be this violence of spirit that overcomes you and says, we got to go after Jesus with everything. And there's nothing that is more important or valuable than that pearl of great price. Nothing. No one, no thing. If you notice, the end is the same for both, whether they found and stumbled upon or whether they were seeking and found. When they eventually had it, they sold it all for the one thing. And there's an exchange in the kingdom of God. There's always an exchange in the kingdom of God. There's all this that we esteem and value and hold dear to our hearts, and these little things that we hold on to, these little comforts, these little binkies that we have, these little pacifiers for the flesh. I like a midnight snack myself. Can you tell? It's the worst time to eat, but I just can't go to bed without a good snack. My flesh is miserable. I tell you what, there's all these things that I don't esteem a snack over Jesus, so to hear that, but I do have my battles. Amen. And we all do. Whether it's your bank account, whether it's a relationship, whether it's you name it, it doesn't matter. It's something different for everybody. The last little parable is Matthew 13:52, is where I'm going to start. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." And if you break down the meaning of this parable, what Jesus was speaking to the men was that, yes, you esteem the treasures to be in the Old Testament, the Old Testament written word. But what he was establishing was that from that point on, there was a new treasure that was coming out of the mouth of the very one speaking them, Jesus himself. And he was saying, there's treasures in the Old Testament, don't forsake them. But you better write these things down right now. And as I'm reading out of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew caught what the master was saying. And he began to write down the very things which Jesus was saying as the treasures in the kingdom which were coming out of his mouth. I was thinking of this. If we look at the Old Testament treasures, we have books like Deuteronomy and Exodus that depict this God of miraculous signs and wonders and how he provided and delivered and taught and raised up and trained a people, the Israelites, to walk before their God. There's Job and all the secrets of wisdom, the oldest book of the Word, with all these treasures. All these gems in them. You have the Psalms. Oh my goodness. How many of y'all benefit from the Psalms like every day? What would we do without these treasures? You have the Proverbs. Song of Solomon. These incredible treasures. And you got to start with from Isaiah all the way on to Malachi. And these prophets that spoke of things yet to come and things that have already taken place and the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Messiah, giving us end time plans, specific strategies for victory in Christ. These are all treasures in the Old Testament, and Jesus is saying, do not forsake them, though he in essence in himself fulfilled, right? The old covenant in himself, there's treasures in there. But he also says this, there's new treasures that are coming from the throne to this very day, and you better seek them out. Because he started speaking right here in his earthly ministry, but today Jesus is still speaking to the bride. And he has treasures that each one of us ought to contend for. And here's the truth, guys. We got to pursue these things. We're not just going to passively one day just stumble into these, even though in the parable, the man stumbled into something. And occasionally, even a blind squirrel stumbles upon something. Whatever that was. Oh, Jesus, help me. It's not going to happen passively. We got to have the mindset of Philippians 3 that all else is rubbish, guys, and go after it. I was thinking in how important these treasures, these words from heaven are in a life. I mean, think of it, just kingdom principles. Like God's way bigger than kingdom principles, but those are important to know. Direction. For our daily lives, for ministry, for church, for where we're headed, where we're going. Kingdom heart conditions that we need. All these things come from the throne. Guys, the deeper and further I go into God, or should I say into my marriage or into my leadership at Teen Challenge or fulfilling the first and second commandments, which are the most important. That's the call of every believer in this room. The further I go into that, the more and more I'm convinced that I am absolutely unable to do this on my own without fresh kingdom treasures from the throne, words of heaven. One word from the throne changes everything, does it not? One word. Think about it. And the price I've come to find out for leaning on my own understanding is far too great. I literally can't afford it. Way too costly. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Hello. It's one of our favorite verses at Teen Challenge. We're beginning this whole discipleship process, and God only knows that's one of the toughest things to do, is stop trusting in your own experience, stop trusting in your own wealth of knowledge and your own stuff that you've learned throughout the years, and begin to press into the King for a fresh word from heaven for whatever you're facing. In all your ways, he says, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Listen to the first part of verse 7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. We're pretty wise, though, aren't we? So we think. We got some. We've been there, done that. We've been around the Lord for a while. I know what to do here. And, you know, it's not always the case. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yikes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't get a been there, done that spirit with Jesus, guys. Continue to contend for fresh words. I was at a denominational pastors conference. Hundreds of pastors in the room just recently. And it doesn't matter what denomination, none of that's relevant. The only thing that I was grieved as I was sitting there listening to the big wig of the denomination, or the second big wig, second in command, declare that God only speaks to his people by the word of God. Now, God speaks to his people through the word of God. Amen? Does he only speak to his people through the word of God? And I was just sitting there and I was grieved and I was praying to God. And I shared a little bit of this the other day with some of the guys, but I started to pray and I asked the Lord how I hated how I felt in that moment. To be honest, I don't want to ever feel self-righteous. I don't want to ever feel better than somebody. I don't like that feeling. If it starts to creep up in me, I quickly try to do something about it. But for a moment, I thought, God, these people, these are your pastors, these are your leaders, and they're declaring that you don't speak by your spirit, God. What kind of trouble is the church in? And he spoke to my spirit, because I believe he speaks. And he said, Andy, they've handcuffed me. I can be in their midst, but they've handcuffed me. Man, heaven forbid. And it took me to this passage in John. And as I was reading it later on, John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus is speaking. And this is what he was telling his disciples right in that moment. He said, I still have many things to say to you. He just got done with this massive discourse on his kingdom in 14, 15, and now into 16, and all about his love and remaining in the vine and leaning on the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And in verse 12, he says, you know what? I got so much more I want to tell you, but you can't even handle it right now. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to this. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Guys, do we believe that we have a God in heaven right now? Huh? Who said right before this, who said it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I can send the Comforter. I can send the Holy Spirit. And he's not just going to make up stuff on his own. Guys, he's going to be tuned into me. And he's going to tell you exactly what you need. Those words in season for you. For whatever you need. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. What originally inspired this message was a passage in Colossians chapter 2. And if you want to flip there, you can. I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. That's a typical Andy message. Believe we can handle it. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. And like I said, what originally inspired this message was a passage in Colossians 2 where Paul is so tenderly fathering this young church in the church of the Colossians in Colossae, however you pronounce that. And there was another church in Laodicea, which geographically, from my understanding, was about 11 miles away. So you have the church in Colossae, and then you have the church in Laodicea. And see, stuff was starting to infiltrate the church. They were starting to esteem this all this other junk, all this other stuff. And Paul was just simply trying to remind them all that Christ had the preeminence, the supremacy, and the ability, by virtue of being inside of them, to be their hope of glory for the future. But he says this in verse 1 of Colossians chapter 2. He says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea." So both churches, or both cities. "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love." And listen to this, "in attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It's a big, deep sentence. Not for your day one in Jesus, I suppose. But what he's saying is, listen, there's something so sweet. He doesn't say some riches. He says all riches. In other words, everything else, rubbish. There's something so sweet as to this richness of having this understanding, which gives you, which is this understanding of the kingdom, this understanding of Jesus himself, which gives you the full assurance. He gives you his heart and his understanding into the knowledge and the mysteries of God, which he had just identified in chapter 1 as Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he says this in closing of verse 3. He says, "But see, all this stuff, all this riches and assurance and treasures and all this stuff, see, they're hidden. All this wisdom and knowledge, what I'm calling tonight these treasures, see, they're hidden in Christ." It's the same Paul who wrote that our identity as well is also hidden in Christ. In other words, Christ is at the forefront of everything, of literally who we are, our identity. And then not just that, our ability to understand who he is, all of that is hidden in him. Kingdom wisdom, kingdom knowledge, it's all hidden in Christ. I did a little study, very brief. The word treasures in Greek Jordan, do you know what that one is? Put you on the spot. He's our Greek man. He knows so much Greek. It's awesome. One of our guys. He's awesome. It's thesaurus. Thesaurus. In Spanish, you'd say tesoros. Right, Arlette? You know what a thesaurus is? A thesaurus is a book. Not like the dictionary. It's more complex and complete. It gives you synonyms. It gives you antonyms. It unpacks words. Sometimes describing etymology, their origin, different things. And the definition of treasures or thesaurus was a deposit that is of wealth. And that is either literal or figurative. In other words, I could come give you a treasure of money or wealth of some sort. Or I could come give you a treasure in a figurative sense. A deposit of incredible value. And I felt like as I was looking this over, I felt like if you were a student in a school and you were using one word all the time to describe everything, a good teacher would often give you a thesaurus. He would give you a deposit, the ability to expound your situation, your vocabulary, to describe it better, to understand it better. And folks, I believe the word for us right now in this season, as we speak, is that there's the storms of life and the issues of life, the challenges that we have. I feel like many of us in this room are responding, we're responding with one word. Over and over again. And I believe that God wants to deposit treasures. Because we can't always overcome everything with the same word. We need a wealth. We need an understanding of His heart, of His mind, of His vision. And He wants to deposit. We can't always respond. And I believe many of us are pretty simplistic in nature. But yet at the end of the day, the Lord, as Paul was speaking, identifying in this passage right in chapter 1, right before where I just read out of, he's talking about presenting these members of this church perfect before Christ. And I can tell you that the Holy Spirit's mission in your life is to present you before the bridegroom king perfect. We can skid in with a bunch of bruises and defeats, slide on into heaven, into home plate, with a bunch of regrets, with the one word. Or we can begin to contend for some greater treasures to be deposited. A greater wealth of vocabulary in the kingdom, if you understand what I'm saying. How well do you know the heart of the Lord is my question. How well do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you hear the tender whispers? You know, that passage that talks about the things that, you know, as you're laying on your pillow, the things that you hear whispered to you, you know, declare from the rooftops. There's many of us that aren't declaring from the rooftops because we're not hearing the whisper on the pillow. I want to read a passage, one of my favorites I learned a long time ago in Teen Challenge, and out of Jeremiah chapter 9. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read two verses. But the Lord in this Old Testament treasure says this: let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might or in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this. Boast is another word that the NIV would use. Let him who boasts, boast about this. Listen to what he says is worth boasting about. And not in a prideful, arrogant way. That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. It says, for in these I delight, says the Lord. that he understands and he knows me, God is saying. He says that this man has treasures. This man has sat in my presence. This man has asked me questions. This man or woman has contended with me for victory in high places when all else seemed to be going down in the wrong direction. This man or woman has sat at the feet of Jesus as a pupil to be taught by the Holy Spirit himself and has a wealth of understanding and knowledge of the character and the love of Jesus. And it says few things. It says that he understands his lordship, that I am the Lord. He understands his lordship. He's not a flying solo, an independent contractor in the kingdom of God. We have too many of those who have a measure of a knowledge of the Lord, but it's puffed up. They're not using it to build up. It's puffed up. They're not submitted to his lordship. I had a gentleman with tears in my eyes, I'm going to say this, I had a gentleman on Sunday look at me and say, I'm leaving Teen Challenge because I'm not ready and I don't want to surrender it all to the Lord. Okay. Thank you for being honest. Not a wise choice. And he's no longer here in our midst. Pray for him. They understand his lordship. They understand his loving kindness, his patience. Guys, how many times have we been going through life and we want to be the Lord of a situation and we've sat at the feet of Jesus and we asked him a question and he reminded us again, who is God? And it's changed the outcome of a decision or an action. How many times have we sat impatiently waiting for God to do something quickly? And it reminds us that he's a faithful, patient God. How many times have we stumbled over and over in repeated sin? We just can't seem to gain victory over it. And God is saying, remember, I'm kind, I'm patient in heart. His goal is that we would stop instantly, right? But yet he's the ever gracious, patient God. He's a God of judgment. And lastly, he identifies himself as a righteous God. I tell you, the man or woman who understands this, that's a man or woman who has treasures in his heart. You don't have to go there, but there's a verse. And you have to ask yourself, why do we have treasures? Why do we gain treasures? Why do we seek after treasures? And there's two reasons, and I'm going to quickly move through this to close out. If we read in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and, listen to this, stewards of the mysteries / treasures of God. Moreover, it is required, not recommended. There's a difference in those two words. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know, see, I believe that with all my heart that as a man or woman sits at the feet of God and asks for treasures, fresh words from heaven, I believe with all my heart that once that happens, that that man now becomes directly responsible for the information he just received. Whether it be for his own benefit or for the benefit of the body. There's a stewardship principle in this that we must understand. There's a two-part process. The first level is you receive treasures for our own sake. I've received many treasures in my own walk with Jesus over these almost 8 years to help me overcome. Amen? I needed to overcome a pretty gnarly addiction to a lot of different things. I wasn't going to do that in my flesh. I couldn't do that in my flesh. How do I understand that this is a relationship? How do I understand that God is with me? Well, when he speaks to me and he deposits stuff into me. I remember one time, not too long ago, I was sitting on a couch and I was facing some incredible difficulties, just challenges and a lot of different areas of my life. And I was very overwhelmed and burdened. And there was something I was heading into and it looked difficult, to say the least. And I sat down, I was in my couch in my house all by myself, and I just cried out to God, and I said, God, how am I going to know that you're with me where I'm going, where you're leading me, I should say. And he just spoke a treasure to my heart. And all he said was, begin to recall my faithfulness. And I went, wow. And I wept. He's been so faithful in my life throughout the years to lead and guide and provide and direct and grow and all this stuff. One little treasure from heaven changed my mood instantly. I just went, God, you're right. You're faithful. Thank you. Let's go. One little word. The second part of that, or we need the ability to overcome, or, you know, health, relationships, either with God or with others. It's really, in essence, to fulfill that first part of the great commandment. Is to love the Lord your God with everything in you. I just summarized it really badly. But really, in order to do that, you need that first part. You need those words from heaven for your sake in order to steward your heart in that. And the second part is you receive treasures for the sake of others, for the strength and the edification of the body. God wants to steward mysteries to you. I mean, he wants to deposit mysteries. But just like the word says, freely you've received, freely give. Don't hoard these treasures from the throne. See, it's not just about a part one or a part two. It's really both, because we need treasures for our own sake. But God, if he sees that your heart is dialed in and you can steward those treasures rightly, he will begin to increase your platform. He'll begin to increase your audience, whether it be sort of underground or from a platform, it doesn't matter. It says in Job that for him who gets rid of the sin in his heart and basically fears the Lord and walks in righteousness, it says that many will court your favor. You start walking, you start stewarding these mysteries, these treasures, and many will just come knocking. I want to see the body function in this way. Guys, I love you. Let's be conduit. Let's be rivers. Let's not be stagnant ponds that we receive these things and go, thank you, God, and then just go on our way. If God gives you a word from heaven, let's ask why. Who is it for? I just wanted to challenge us today with the fact that I believe God wants to speak to you. I believe that God wants to increase in an accelerated rate in your own life if you will allow him. I believe God can do a work in you personally, which will then affect the corporate body. If you guys would stand with me as we pray. I just want to pray, if I have Bob's permission to just pray a blessing over anybody here. I don't know, you might be faced with some difficult things. You might be looking at some challenges in your marriage. You might be looking at some difficulties in your relationships, your job, your ministry assignment, just your own personal devotions. Sometimes we have all these attacks and these roadblocks and things that try to hinder us. And you might have relationship issues right now with family or with, co-workers, who knows. I just believe God wants you to hear that he's got treasures for you. He's a faithful God, a loving God who speaks and directs. He wants you to begin to taste and see that he's good. He wants you to discern his voice in your life. Just like I said, one word from heaven can change everything. So I don't know who you are, but if you need one word spoken to you, you need to identify yourself to the Lord. You might say, Andy, you don't understand. I've been asking God for a long time. Yeah, well, there's a two-part process of talking, and there's listening, and there's positioning yourself. And I believe that the grace is on the message tonight. When God was sharing that he wanted to give me what I asked for, I wanted to ask that those who needed something would receive it tonight. So again, I don't know, maybe you need salvation. Maybe you need, whatever it may be. I just believe God is in the house and he wants to answer you. He wants to deposit some things. I also want to pray the second part prayer for some of you guys. Maybe you are hearing the voice of the Lord. Maybe there's a you've been blessed by your walk with Jesus, and yet you know he's been prompting you in the area of being a blessing to the body. You've kind of been a one-way street for a while, and God is really asking you to pray to reveal to you where the harvest is, where your specific harvest, where he wants you to labor. And I just believe that God wants to release a word to you guys. I believe that God wants to empower you today. So I'm going to pray, and if you're ready to receive from the Lord, you just put your hands up to heaven and let's get what we came for. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you're a good God. God, I thank you that you speak. God, that you want to take what's of the Father and you want to declare it to us. And you want to declare it to us in perfect clarity. Father, you understand that so much hinges on the fact that we position ourselves to hear your voice and to hear what it is. God, I just pray a stewardship principle over every man and every woman in this room. God, as we hear the voice, God, I pray that you would release an accelerated anointing for some in this room to begin to operate in the prophetic as you give them utterance. Father, I pray that you would give somebody the grace and the desire, the ability, the courage to step out and off of the sidelines of ministry and back into active listening and speaking and declaring what you're speaking to the church today. God, I pray right now, Lord, that we would contend and that we would be like the one in the parable who found this great treasure, this great pearl of great joy, and that we'd forsake it all, that we'd sell it all to purchase the greatest thing of all, and that is you. So God, I thank you again for being in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just speak truth in Jesus' name. Father, we receive. As your children, we receive from you right now. God, I thank you for who you are.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Lord, I surrender. I surrender. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Lord, we surrender. Lord, we surrender. All in this place, Lord, help us to know you more. Help us to know you more. We surrender, yeah, yeah. We surrender, 'cause we want to know you more. We want to know you more. 'Cause 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 we want to know you more. We want to know you more. We want to know you more. surrender, surrender, surrender. All to you, Lord, I surrender.
Lord, I thank you for the word that you brought through Andy tonight. I ask, God, that it would go deep within us. I ask, Lord, that we would hear your voice. We would respond to it. That we would be encouraged to keep standing and keep hearing and walking in the purpose. Lord, I ask that you would help us to not wrestle with our destiny, but to be able to step into it in these days and the days ahead. Thank you for what you're doing in the body of Christ, and you never give up on us. Now bless us as we go our different directions, and watch over us and stir us up to be hungry. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, and go in peace.